Hey, Eric Bischoff here, and if you're looking for the inside scoop, all of the information, look no further than the Ringside Podcast.
You're listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Welcome to Ringside,
the show that brings you all that is pro wrestling, news, interviews, and opinions.
You know what? You know what? You just made the list.
Really?
With Daniel Spencer.
The jabroni beaten. Now, pie eaten.
Jeremy Wallman.
That I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
And Justin Kruger.
I make my own rules because it's much easier that way.
And now let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer.
I'm Jeremy Wallman.
And I'm Eric Cornish.
All right, guys. We have had a couple weeks off, or a week off. We've been 2 weeks since we've been on, and we're doing this at a weird time. We're recording literally before the two big pay-per-views for WWE, so throwing that out there. So in case you're like, why in the hell you're not y'all talking about this? Because by the time you hear it, those have aired.
And we never saw it coming. We didn't. I mean, did you see all that? And we never saw it coming.
Right, exactly. I could not believe what went down. This past weekend, it's one of those weird things that just scheduling wise, we got to get a show out there, and we're like, well, crap. Well, we can't really talk about that stuff because it hasn't happened. But we're gonna sound like idiots. We'll have a review and a reaction show.
We'll just see how well we did.
Yeah, because we'll
we're gonna accurately predict everything, and people are gonna think that we put it out afterwards.
Yeah.
But we didn't. It literally is. Early in the morning on Saturday, we wouldn't do you all like that.
That's right.
No, yeah. So
maybe Daniel.
So
but
we're
not
recording
the rest
this
of
before
you.
The two big shows. Like I said, this normally airs on Monday. I was telling before we've released shows during the week, but still weekends. Even when we do, people don't listen to the week. It's fine. We're okay. We love our listeners. And we appreciate that.
Most of them.
I mean, there's some people that. Actually will message me the week after we've aired a new show and go, man, that was funny. And I'm like, you're just not listening? Okay, no big deal. You know, go ahead and listen. And they're just kind of, it's on the rotation. There's so many daggone podcasts out there that even me, like I found two new ones over the last like month and I'm trying to listen and binge watch and add it to my list. So it's just, you know, crazy. By the way, shout out to the guys at Pro Wrestling, Positively Pro Wrestling Podcast, PPW Podcast, Steve and Eric. They just celebrated their 100th episode a few weeks ago, but also they always, plug us on every episode. And, you know, they're such good guys, and I want to give them a shout out because, you know, they deserve it. They're great, and love the work they do.
Absolutely.
As well. So, good stuff.
We ought to take one full episode one time to talk about some of our favorite wrestling podcasts.
We can do that. Or just podcasts in general because sure. I do listen to about three non-wrestling ones, but they always have good guests. Right now, I'm stuck on the Office Ladies Pod, which nice. Is just amazing. If you're an Office fan, like, oh my goodness, I can't recommend it enough. And now there's a Saved by the Bell one. So now I'm like, holy crap, I got to get into the Saved by the Bell podcast.
I got to find that. Who's doing that?
Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so like I got to get into that. Like, you know, Zach Morris is talking about breaking down kind of what the Office Ladies are doing. He's breaking down all the old episodes and going through each episode.
Did you see the by the way, did you see the trailer for
yes,
that?
It the was second hilarious. Trailer. The second release one, the one that just came out?
I don't know which one it was.
Well, there was a first one that came out about 3 months ago, and then they just released
another
one.
Okay, it's the one that they just released.
Yeah, it was great.
Jesse going out in the hallway talking about reliving the whole, I'm so excited.
Yeah she says, don't take those pills.
It'll ruin your girl group.
Yeah, it was great. I love how they're going to play, that's what's great about it. They're going to do nostalgia stuff where they're going to play homage to some of this stuff, make fun of themselves at the same time. But it's great.
It's like a Fuller House type vibe.
Yeah.
I like it. It's
but cool. I hope it. I mean, nothing wrong with Fuller House because there was the reasons I got Netflix, believe it or not. But and it was decent. But I think that I hope this is better than Fuller House. Even if Fuller House was good, I want it to be better than Fuller House. Just because Saved by the Bell is like that special list of shows to me.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Absolutely.
You know, so anyways, we're sorry not talking about wrestling, guys. We got on a little tangent there. But
hey, this is also our very first podcast from the new and improved Wamatron 5000 podcast table.
The Thunderdome, as we like to call it.
The Thunder Desk. Patent pending.
Well, yeah, Thunder Desk. We can't call it the Thome. Yeah, yeah, Thunder Desk.
I'm just impressed. He did this with his own hands. Yeah. Like, with his
own help.
He built this thing.
Shout out to Chris. Is that his name right, Chris?
Chris, yeah, but he literally didn't do much at all.
Well, I would, then that's why this is a little shaky.
I hate not, you.
No, actually, it's very stunning. Believe it or not, very sturdy. It's black and red, which is the colors of the Ringside Podcast, as well as the Louisville Cardinals, which is Cardinal Sports Zone Podcast, your other show you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's
a lot better than that stupid card table we've been working off of for the last 4 years.
Yeah, well, hey. Even the card table impressed a lot of talent.
It did.
So
I don't know why, but it did.
We would come and have the stuff laid out, and they'd be like, you know, I remember Randy Royal showed up and was like, "Damn, you guys are the real deal." I was like, "Yeah, what do you expect? I just expect us to just sit here and chat in an iPhone."
I would like to think it was the rest of the stuff that impressed the stuff. You know, they say you can polish a turd, but it's still a turd. I think it was the rest of the surroundings that polished up
that
turd.
Well, but if you remember, though, before he came on one of the first guests we had in season one, or maybe even season two. I can't remember. I have to look back. But when he came on, like, we were used to be, this little room over here we used to record in, and it was the first time we recorded out here.
Yeah.
For the very first time we did that, we recorded out here. And, yeah, you had some cool gadgets, but you have way more cool gadgets than you did then.
That's true.
But it was all the...
I still had the... come on now. 3 TVs and a pop-a shot. That's going to get any regular male on earth.
I just think this desk, I mean, it's solid, but I feel like it's gimmicked to where we could put somebody through it and then just put it back together like a Spanish dance table. I mean, we
can try. Daniel, you got some time after the show?
We're going to need that. What we're going to need to do is, actually, while we're recording live, I want to take a picture of this shot. There we go, right there. And the only thing I was disappointed in is on the bottom, you have the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. I believe it's on, like, there's 4 sides to this bottom, and not one says Ringside Podcast.
Well, to be fair, the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast money is the money that was provided us to be able to build it. I do have Ringside Podcast decals all over the place.
Yeah, you have a couple little stickers. I appreciate that. I just think that, you know, one side, it could have been the side that's hidden, but one side could have had the Ringside Podcast logo. It's okay, though.
Stickers are like 80, or decals, are those big ones were $85 each.
I have no nitpicks. I think it looks great.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm a UK fan.
Always the baby face. So actually, yeah. Speaking of UK fans, I gotta. Never mind. I'm not going to talk about that. I told you about somebody wearing a UK shirt, and I gave them some hell about it. And they said, "Hey, it was free. I wear free stuff, and I like it." I was like, "Okay."
Right, no. Daniel was disappointed, but that's too bad.
It's too bad.
A shout out to our guy too, man. He got merch this week.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. You talking about me?
Yeah.
Your boy got merch.
I do have merch.
It looks like Vince Russo's knockoff merch, but he got merch.
No, it didn't look like Vince. Vince Russo has longer hair and gray gray in the beard. But no offense, I love you, Russo. You're my boy. But shout out to ProWrestlingTees.com for the store. Yes, I'll go ahead and plug it. You can go to ProWrestlingTees.com/Daniel Spencer. And get your referee Daniel Spencer gear. I am the arm sleeve zebra.
Oh my God.
Arm sleeve zebra. They've all called him that. We've all said that, right?
There's other. Then he should have other shirts if we're just going based off things that we've called him.
Well, who says that there's not more shirts to come?
Okay.
You know, you got to start somewhere.
He's That's Bruce fair. Pritchard over here. I know. All of a sudden. Man,
I don't know where this guy came from.
and yes, Ringside Podcast shirts are being worked on. As well, and you might see one on a Pro Wrestling Tees and a different version on through Collar and Elbow. So,
that's awesome. I just hope Collar and Elbow don't try to get any retribution against us for that. For you going,
no.
What happened to the lights? Don't say that word.
No, actually,
dang it, I missed it. That was the perfect. I could have done that. I could have queued that up.
Yeah, actually, there is a future. You know,
there it is. Retribution. Lights are dim.
There is a future shirt. We've talked about it forever, but it's just the fact that We need to put something out there and see how many want so we could order, because what Collar and Elbow requires a certain number of order pre-ordered ahead, where with Pro Wrestling Tees, it's make as you go along. So I can just throw it on there and you fair. Just buy one if you want one.
That's anybody's fair. Interested, tweet us, let us know at Ringside Podcast, and then we can kind of gauge that interest.
Exactly. Right there. So anyways, we got a lot to talk about, and let's get to it. So let's go ahead and break it down. And the WB debate debuted a brand new concept that actually, honestly, I'm not a hater of it. It's different. It's called Thunderdome. And basically what it is it's faces of all the fans all are surrounding around the ring. And some you can see, some you can't. I guess it just depends on who the fans are. But not only do they debut it on SmackDown, they're going to debut it this weekend at NXT, right as you'll see on NXT and you saw NXT and SummerSlam, as well as Monday Night Raw.
It's not going to be on NXT. They're doing all their stuff from Full Sail.
Oh, I thought it was NXT too as well. Okay, all right. Well, then on SummerSlam and Monday Night Raw, as you saw this week. So, but the reason why we're going to bring it up is that we have one of the co-hosts here at Ringside in this room that was actually a part of the first ever Thunderdome on SmackDown.
Yeah, man, I was excited. First off, I want to say I was kind of wary about the idea when I heard about it, but when stuff started leaking on Wednesday and Thursday, pictures, they did trial matches Thursday. I really became a big fan because in all essence, it turned the entire arena into one big Titantron.
Yeah.
And it was visually appealing. It gave you everything that you were missing. Like, they could have literally had two chickens fighting out in the ring last night, and I would have been like, man, that's awesome. I signed up for Thunderdome. I was like, I have to be part of history. This is going to be awesome. It's going to be fun. It's going to be amazing. Got an email about an hour before the show went off. It was like, you have landed the prime viewing time of 9:40. So here, the thing is that I got 9:45 to 10 o'clock, which is supposed to be the prime time. That's the time you want to be seen. That's when you want to be seen. And of course, at 9:44, they started going to stuff. They never showed the ring again after 9:44. So I got to be a part of it. But I wasn't really – I didn't get the full experience. But I loved what was going on. I loved how they did things. The opening of the show had me pumped for – I thought it was going to be a huge – and it wasn't a bad night. It wasn't as big of a night as you would have thought from the opening segment. But I loved it. I loved the idea of it. You felt like you were back watching wrestling with fans again, even though you knew it was just like 1,000 LED video boards in the arena or how many ever there are. I liked it. What did you think about it?
First of all, I want to know, what was your experience like from watching it? I mean, just being in the Thunderdome or whatever, what do you see on your end different than what you see on TV?
Well, basically what you do, it's just like a Zoom call. So you hold your phone up, you're faces in the bottom left hand corner, and you're aimed at the ring. It's just it's from the first person point of view.
So wherever your camera's at, are you exactly in that spot
in that seat? Yeah.
So like if you're on the corner, so if your spot is on the corner of the post, you actually get, you're seeing the match for, you're seeing the show from the corner of the post.
Okay.
Is it zoomed in pretty good or?
Yeah, I mean, it was almost as if I was seeing it from exactly where I would have saw it from the ring. But again, I got the 9:45. They do it like that. They did 15-minute intervals so they could get as many people to participate as possible, which I thought was really cool. There's millions of people that want to do it. Let's do it. But, of course, like I said, my luck, at 9:44, they went to behind-the-scenes stuff, and they never aimed at the ring again. But I still was able to see the ring from the corner, and that's where I was at. It's funny you mentioned that. I was sitting – It looked like I was in the second row.
Yeah,
about three seats over from the post.
Okay,
so I mean, it was cool. I just wish I would have got to see more of the of the in ring action.
It's all the kind of luck of the draw there.
Yeah,
I will say this: watching it last night, and as of we're recording this now, was SmackDown, and I thought it was cool. I mean, it all of a sudden gave a new look. We've been watching, SmackDown, Raw, and everything the same way for a long time now, and it automatically gave a whole new feel to it. I was really disappointed in getting on Twitter and seeing so many of these so-called wrestling journalists and fans and just hating on this thing. And I'm like, how could you hate on this? And I think it was Conrad Thompson that tweeted out. It was like, this is how you make the best out of a bad situation.
Absolutely.
And I 100% agree. It looked great. I mean, think about what you've got here. Think even 5 years ago, if they would have showed you this, your brain would have exploded. You know what I mean? It's like, because nobody, I mean, yeah, there were video conferencing and things, but even like Zoom, people didn't really know what Zoom was even a year ago.
Right. No, you're right.
But I mean, to look at this and everybody's going, well, it's just a Zoom call. No, this is incredible. This looks incredible. They put a lot of work into it. And yet, so what? They were using canned sound, but it still was 100 times better than what we've been watching.
Here's the thing, man, and I know there's a lot of talk in regards to this guy being out of touch or whatnot or whatever. Let me tell you something, man. Vince is a genius. He still is. To come up with this idea, this concept, to put this together, to get the state of Florida, the city of Orlando, to like pretty much say, yeah, this is your arena. No one else is using it for the next 2 months, so there you go. Because of what it does to the city of Orlando anyways. But all that can, and that's business. I get it. I'm sure there's, it wasn't just, you can have it, pal. I'm sure there's money involved or whatever. I get all that. But to be a smart businessman, to come up with this concept, to be innovative, because it is innovative. Yes, yeah. I know it's June, but it is innovative. All of the screens and whatnot. And yes, granted, I know we've talked about some people you can see, some you can or whatever.
That doesn't matter.
But that's like watching any wrestling match.
No, you're right.
Some of the people you see, some you can't.
The thing I'm disappointed in is why it's front row carry, collar and elbow guy on Twitter. Why is he not? Why was he? He should have been sitting in the front row.
I agree with you.
And Smiley, Green Shirt 6 Smiley, which is Danny. Why he wasn't sitting there too as well? Those guys should have been right there. Just because it
Brock
doesn't
Lesnar
matter.
Brock Lesnar guy, Red Hat, everybody
they
should
deserve
be.
No, totally to be agree. And I know a lot of people hate that. Look, I'm friends with a couple of them, so it's fine. But a lot of people hate because they're always in those shots, and this does give other people opportunity. But those guys spend tons and tons and tons of money, and they deserve to have that spot because it makes it like a real WWE event to have those guys sitting front row on camera.
Well, I think it's different though in this aspect, because if those were paid seats, which I think, I mean, how do you not go to this in some form? You don't want your talent. First off, I think live events may be a thing of the past. I think that they should probably do stuff like this going forward. You can make more money. You can spend less money by not having to travel to all the cities. I think it was no coincidence. I'm very impressed. Like literally, they announced one Friday that the WWE made $40-something million that quarter, and then 2 days later they had a wrestling amusement park erected and put into place.
Right.
I'm glad I didn't have to wait 6 weeks for that. I mean, it would have been worth it.
Yeah.
But it was like, we're gonna do the Thunderdome. It's coming out in 2 days. How do you like that? So, as a wrestling fan myself, I do understand that that live events really didn't make them a whole lot of money anyway. And I know what they were used for. They were used to introduce new angles and get repetitions in.
It's an old business model, but mm-hmm. I'll miss it if it goes away. Absolutely. I will miss it so much.
It's going away for a while. Now, right now it's going away. Well, according to WWE, it's going away forever, but they've said many things are going away forever. So I have a feeling eventually when the need is there, it'll come back. It's just the need's not there right now, and it won't be for a while because of COVID, period.
That's fair.
I mean, Impact Wrestling is not doing, probably not going to be live events for definitely the remainder of the year, and who knows how long in 2021. And then now AEW is, you know, let's go ahead and bring that up, because they have announced that they're going to allow 10% of fans into now Daily's Place or Palace.
Daily's Place, Palace, yeah.
It's pretty big, so 10% is a lot of people.
Right.
But they've already had issues now with people trying to resell the tickets, trying to split up the family pods where people are supposed to be together. And, of course, Tony Khan's already put the hammer down on that and is going to try to stop that.
That did impress me. I was very, very shocked that he cared enough to do something like that, because, I mean, a lot of places don't.
Well, and that's the thing too. It's like it's, you know, I saw somebody on Twitter. I think it was Brian Satin who, or somebody made a comment. One of the guys like that. It might not have been him, so I apologize. It might have been that Ross guy, Sean Ross. Somebody made a comment where they said, WWE announces Thunderdome, then AEW comes back and says, oh, 10% fan. So the chess match is starting. I was like, I don't think it's really. I think they both knew they needed to have some kind of a fan interaction, and each one of them worked out.
Or just to change. Just to change in scenery. Something different.
I don't see it as a chess match. I really see it as AEW doing what they can do and then WWE doing what they can do. It's just the common of both. And
again,
I think it
goes back to the making the best out of a bad situation.
But remember, WWE is also a public traded company. AEW is not. So when WWE is public, they have to be a little more secure and a little more hardcore when it comes to allowing fans, where AEW can get away with allowing people because of the whole stocks.
You're saying they don't run a sloppy ship? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think they do. I think that now that was definitely a shoot towards them and whatever. But you know, but at the same time, back to the whole, this concept is great, and I love that, you know, what Impact did for Slammiversary. They did the celebration, cell as in cell phone.
Right.
They're going to do that again for Bound for Glory. I'm pretty sure, even though it's not been announced, but I'm pretty confident they will. You get one-on-one interactions and Zoom calls with your you know, with certain stars, superstars, and knockouts, and I think WWE, I know they're doing something very similar, but I think you get less time, but also they're probably gonna have more people pay, get involved, so they gotta spread it out a little bit differently. But you know, it's just another way of being innovative, coming up with ideas, being a way to be interactive with your fans. And during this hard time, and eventually, you know, a year from now, we're going to look back at this and go, man, remember they did this, it was cool, but now, you know, we're back to the normal.
And Impact has got some of the best stories that they've had in a long time going on right now. They're the only ones that I really would like to see them do something different too. You know, it's now that everybody else has kind of made those steps, even OVW now in front of some fans, and you know, WWE is doing the Thunderdome, and AEW, I know they're already taped for 8 weeks.
The only thing that would change would be at Bound for Glory and going forward. As of right now, it's the same up until Bound for Glory. But however, it's still, and I'm biased, but it's still some of the best storylines, best stories, best wrestling going on today.
And that's what I said. But that's, at the same time, once, you know, it took a while to get past the stuff that WWE and AEW were doing when it was just silent and there was nobody there. And then they built it up and got some more and some more and some more. And everybody else has now done different things. And to go back to Impact where it's just kind of silent is tough. But I do like what they're doing. So it's just, I hope they get, you know, get something.
I'm with you on that.
It's tough. It's tough. I know.
Something does have to be done because that is, and especially, and it's no fault of their own, when these other companies get innovative and show you what you've been missing, then it sticks out more when you go back to watching Impact. So you see, okay, so now the WWE's got the piped-in crowd noise, and you got faces in the arena. And then you watch Impact, and it's like, okay, well, they need something in the arena, you know. But again, they've got some of the best story writing going on right now, storylines going on right now. They've got a lot of hungry talent there that, you know, that some of them have been there and they want to make their name. Some of them are coming from WWE and are very, very hungry. So at least
they're still producing TV. Absolutely. You know, you've got NWA, you've got MLW that have kind of been dark for a while.
Ring of Honor as well.
Yeah, Ring of Honor. So.
Which, anyway. By the way, kudos to EC3 for being able to work out the fact to work in two promotions at the same time. I was a big fan when Cody pulled this off a couple years ago, and now with EC3 having the dual contracts to both Ring of Honor and Impact, I can't wait to see what he'll do in Ring of Honor.
And I'll throw this out there again. We did this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Smaller companies, everybody but WWE, work together.
Yeah.
Work together because it can only help you. It's not going to hurt.
I mean, it doesn't. Yeah. I mean, why not? You know, for sure.
Very passionate words from the host there. Yeah. Okay.
So let's kind of transition just a little bit here in regards to some other news that came out. This actually came out last week, but of course we didn't do a show, and really scary situation with Sonya Deville is what happened with the basically a stalker who's been stalking her for months, decided to plan to kidnap her and do this whole thing. And was that in her house? And this whole not, I mean, like, wow, what a crazy situation. So glad that no one got hurt. He got caught, he got arrested, being prosecuted right now. So what are your thoughts on this situation?
Did you happen to see the video, the security video that came out? I don't know if you
know. I haven't watched it yet. No.
It was very scary situation where she walks in the house, and I guess she went to look, you know, on the back porch. I don't know if she had a notification that somebody was out there or whatever. She looks through the blinds, and sure enough, there's a dude standing there. And then as she tries to go back out the front door, he just walks right in. I mean, it's a scary situation. And let's face it, guys. There's a lot of us as wrestling fans, we have our favorites, you know, and I've met a lot of wrestling fans before that, especially with the women, they, you know, they find theirs that they like a whole lot. Right. They interact with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these aren't, you know, people that you can interact with personally unless they reach out to you and see you in person. This is not okay in any sense of the word to anybody that you don't know. It's not.
No, it's not.
And, you know, and I hate to say this about our community and our wrestling fans, but we're some of the worst. And I'm not talking about us personally, but I've seen wrestling fans, you know, step beyond those boundaries.
Yeah. Well, I've seen that, and I've seen, I mean, even, you know, I've talked to, you know, sometimes you're talking to fans and how they act or whatever. And you're just like, you know, no, that's not it. Let's do this. Let's do, you know, just, it's just wild the way people, you know, you kind of have to know your limits and what you can say. I mean, as many times me talk to fans, even locally in OVW, have been like, okay, yeah, it's a little much. You know, go ahead and you step back and you're kind of, I've had to protect a few of the female talent before. Like, hey, come with me right now because this is going on. Okay, so I kind of stand there and kind of help them. They want to be nice and sign an autograph or take a picture, but at the same time, you just gotta, you know, it's like, hey, you gotta cut it off at some point.
Yeah, it's time to move on. I was surprised that they referenced it during SmackDown. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they made it part of the storyline, and of course now we're going to be after SummerSlam once you hear this, but they've changed the match now. Now it's not hair versus hair anymore.
It's winner
loser leaves town.
WWE, and they didn't just say SmackDown. They did, you know, so I'm interested to see where this is going, and maybe Sonya's going to take a little break. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I was surprised that they brought it up, but they definitely made mention of what happened.
I didn't know they brought it up. I thought
they didn't say specifically anything, but they definitely, I mean, Mandy said something about it. Yeah, it's been a really rough week and I really just want to be friends again and help her with whatever she's got going on. And then somebody else,
Dana Brooke.
Yeah.
And then Sonya smacked her probably as hard as I've ever seen anybody smacked in my entire life.
it was a good
slap the makeup off of her face.
I haven't watched SmackDown or whatever it hasn't aired on Hulu yet.
I can't wait for you to watch the opening segment. Amazing.
But from what I understand though is that so what you're saying is that they kind of like almost squashed their storyline because they're
kind of they just made reference to like it's been a tough week and everything that happened to you and whatever, you know, because now she's kind of a sympathetic character.
Well, you know, she was
character.
At the house too though. Mandy was there.
Yeah, Mandy was there as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mandy was in the house too. She was sleeping in the living room
or
something.
Okay. Well, but then Dana Brooke bringing it up and saying, "Yeah, I'm sorry what happened to you, whatever." That's as far as it went. I'm sorry what happened to you this week. And then she just, you know, she smacked Dana and said, "I don't need your, you know, thoughts or whatever, you know, whatever it was." But then changing the whole match, the hair versus hair is out the window.
I'm a little confused of the loser leaves WWE.
Well, it's Sonya's probably taking some time off to recover from the trauma of this.
Well, I mean, I guess then that could be it. And I guess that's what
I mean. Just because you leave, there's never been a loser leave WWE forever match. It's all they leave and then they come. I mean, Shane McMahon.
Bret Hart took 8 years.
Well, yeah, but Shane McMahon lost a loser leave WWE match and now he's running. I mean, it's not official. It's underground.
Right. Yeah.
But And the rumors that Vince is about to hand over the reins of Monday Night Raw to him intrigues me a lot as well. He wants to focus more on SmackDown, which I think has been the better product of the two.
It kind of depends. It's been up and down recently, but yeah. So I don't know. As far as Sonya and Mandy go, I guess most of you will know by now. But
I told y'all.
Yeah.
I told y'all Mandy was going to win.
We never saw it coming. Never saw it coming.
Yeah. Well, but anyway, it's a scary situation there. So glad everything got worked out, and I hope this is actually a opening. People that may have this attitude of I'm in love with whoever, whether it's, or I love this superstar so much, or whether it's a guy or a girl,
hate him, or
whatever. That, you know what, I need to be careful what I do because I'm going to get caught and go on. I mean, you know, we've seen other celebrities in the past there's some famous deaths out there that's caused by stalkers, super fans who became stalkers and actually went after them, and mostly musicians, but a few actors and stuff too as well in the past, or have caused people to go to depression and stuff too as well. So it's very serious out there, guys. So just be a fan, be a fanatic even. Just that's all. You know what I'm saying? That's all.
Know your limits.
Know your limits.
Do not cross that line.
Absolutely. So it looks like there's another thing going on out there that we kind of talked about earlier. Like, it, you know, supposedly WWE stars contacting AEW. Like, you know, I guess looking for work. You know, possibly saying, hey, I might be there soon or whatever. When they're under contract, it's a no-no. So,
I don't believe that at all. It's been going around for a couple weeks now.
I mean, you know, they have friends in one another, and I know conversations happen because, you know, somebody will be talking to the buddy and be like, look, man, whenever you're done there, I know you're unhappy. I know we can get you. I know you can come on here, blah, blah, blah. Mention your name to so-and-so, and yeah, they're definitely interested. Okay, cool. That's gray because they didn't officially talk to this person and all that stuff. So if that's what's going on, that's been happening for years.
Oh, it went back to, you know, the WCW days. Right. And that's been, and now this is the closest we've ever been to that because, you know, we've got a company and literally you've got an owner of a company that has more money than Vince McMahon. And I think Vince is probably, you know, a little nervous about
that
in some ways.
Last time that happened, it was Ted Turner.
It's true. And now it's really happened again, and they're still under construction. They're still trying to figure out what AEW is going to be. And I don't blame some of these people, even if they're bigger stars, thinking, hey, you know, they're on TNT. They're going to be there for a while, and you got this guy that's got all this money and willing to give it out, just like Ted Turner was. You know, you might be talking.
Well, it's what I understand, too, is I've heard that Tony Khan is not giving out as much money as he originally was. He is kind of slowing down a little bit. Not saying guys aren't getting paid, but I'm just saying, like, they're not getting crazy money. You know, they're not getting the crazy money. But then again, we haven't had anybody big, big, big that's come available, you know, where, like, it's a Jericho type, or back then those days, a Hulk Hogan type available, mm-hmm. where it's, like, this big name. You know, those guys might still get the big money. You know what I mean? But we'll see what happens on that. Another thing, too, interesting. Now, I'm going to bring this up because a lot of they're trying to spin it into a big story, but it's really not. You know, Bret Hart has had like 8 documentaries or something pulled, 5 or 8 documentaries pulled from WWE's network. And a lot of people are making a big deal about, oh, they're gonna look what they're doing with Bret Hart. Again, if they're being pulled because of the footage that is being used that WWE no longer has the rights to, so they have to pull it because of the footage. But Bret Hart actually selected in these documentaries of his favorite matches, so therefore it's not because anything to do with the heat with Bret. It's just strictly they have to pull it because of business. So people out there, you know, on Twitter and stuff, and I know the story headlines, you know, read, you know, Bret Hart stuff pulled, you know, like it's a big deal, but it's not.
Probably just working out the financials on that one, but I think it's the Stampede Wrestling stuff that Bret still has rights to. Yeah,
yeah, he still has anything involved Bret and Owen or something. Bret has the rights to or something like that.
Well, yeah, I think it's the Stampede footage that features him and his brothers, I think he owns anything else.
Anything else he doesn't own.
Yeah.
And Brett has, they've made deals for these documentaries before and releasing DVDs, but not for the network. So that's the issue they're working out. So they'll
didn't have that old in perpetuity and new media clause in it.
Yeah, I didn't have that. By the way, real quick, I know I don't talk here lately. I'm kind of not talking too much when it comes to angles, but I will say this. I know that we're going to have a takeover by the time you hear this and all that, but this past NXT, I mean, the angle we've talked about before between Pat McAfee and Adam Cole, it was done really, really well, man. How they did that setup and how they did this kind of go home and what they did in the ring. And, you know, Pat McAfee being the true super heel, I don't know what the Undisputed Era was a heel faction, so I'm a little confused. Maybe they're turning face, but I will say, beautiful, well done.
I'm on board. I thought the promo was fire. Pat McAfee, if nothing else, we don't know how he is in the ring yet. I have a feeling he's going to be better than a lot of people think he is.
He's trained by Rip Rogers.
Exactly.
Man.
We know the Hustler's been behind him, so we know there's got to be some good stuff there that he picked up, hopefully. But his promo was awesome. I mean, he can cut a promo.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would disagree with that or ever has. Since he started doing the TakeOver pre-shows, I've been shooting the idea off to my friends. I mean, I believe even Daniel, that he should be a manager in WWE. He's got all the qualities of your greats. He's got a little bit of Dr. Sal Slick in him, a little bit of Bobby Heenan, a little bit of classy Freddie Blassie, a little bit of Paul Heyman. So, I mean, I really feel like that's where he would do best in this industry. And I'm with you as well. I think that people are going to be surprised how well he's – I mean, he is a professional athlete.
Sure.
It doesn't always translate, but I think people are underestimating him, and he'll end up being a little bit better than people assumed.
And so far, which you've seen, the only thing he really did physically was, you know, kick him in the head. And he should be able to hurt somebody with his punting foot. I mean, that's, you know, what he did.
And to confirm what Daniel said, I think they're absolutely going to turn the Undisputed Era face. They've done everything they could as a heel faction.
I agree.
And I think that's probably what, I mean, who better to turn them face than one of the best talkers that's around?
So another interesting thing that was released this past week, and this, I was going to bring up one thing, but I got to bring up this first, and then I can bring up the other thing.
Okay, fair enough.
Renee Young has been announced that she is leaving WWE, and SummerSlam is her last weekend, which by the time this airs, she's, I guess, gone from WWE.
She did a great job at SummerSlam. It was awesome.
Anyway, so your thoughts on Renee Young leaving WWE, and what do you see the future for her?
I don't like it, but I understand it. I mean, her husband's X amount of miles away. She feels like when she announced that she had COVID that she wasn't supported by the higher-ups, and in a time where I'm not saying this is a small thing, but the smallest of things are being blown up and over-exaggerated 1,000-fold because we're all going crazy from the quarantine and from feeling like we're locked down. But she didn't feel like she was being supported, said she didn't get contacted by any of the higher-ups in WWE in the days after she announced that she was sick. I'm not sure that has anything to do with it. I think mostly it has to do with the fact she wants to be with her husband. She's not able to be with her husband. And I'm sure as innovative as AEW is, we'll see our first four-person commentating team five-person commentating team in the near future. I'm sure she's got a lengthy – I read somewhere that she had one of the longest non-compete clauses of any contract currently in WWE.
Well, I will say this. First of all, about the situation in itself, I hate to see it because I think Renee's awesome. I'm not surprised, to be honest with you. When you hear the things that Moxley says, you know, about WWE, and these two, you figure they're married. They're not you know, you got to figure that they share some common bond in all this, even if she is getting paid by them. So, and I think you're going to see a lot more of this. The more that wrestlers, male and female wrestlers, are getting together and are going to different companies, whether it's, you know, Cardona and his wife, or whether it's Adam Cole and Britt Baker, well, you know what I mean? It's like they're working for different companies. I think you're going to see more of this because it's sometimes about more than working for the big company, making the big money. It's about supporting your significant other. Right. Now, that's not saying that Renee's going to go to AEW. I think Renee's got a lot more potential to do more mainstream things if she wants to. But I think she will end up in AEW. That's my personal belief. But let me say this about her. Overall, Renee's legacy, and hopefully this holds up even though she's leaving, I think it's not being said enough that she should be part of this women's revolution everybody talks about. I think she has been that unsung hero in all this, and only because they've had a lot of women over the years. They've had backstage interviewers. They've had, go all the way back, Stephanie Wyan, Mike McGurk, whoever you want to talk about that have been women announcers in the ring or outside the ring. She was the first, legit. She was the first one that was ever on commentary and did a great job. Whether she thinks she did or not. I mean, her backstage promos, stand-ups are great. You know, the whole hosting the things at the desk, wherever she has done awesome. And when you talk about the women's revolution, she was right in the midst of all of that. And I think you should probably look back at her as one of the people that meant a lot to that.
So here's the thing, too. And there's a lot of, you got to remember, she was off WWE TV for a while, and she was doing pretty much backstage, which is a Fox. She had a Fox contract. Sure. She had a WWE contract, employee contract. WWE employee contract is different from a talent contract. She has the right to but employee contract is very similar to you work at your job 9 to 5. You can put in your notice and you can leave. Now, I think there is an old complete clause, and apparently it's different from that. So I don't think she can go to AEW right now or anything wrestling, but there is. Rumors in innuendo, at least from the side I've heard, is that...
Rumors in what?
Innuendo. What? What did I say?
The window isn't even open.
It sounded like you said there were rumors in windows. Sorry.
Roofers and windows.
Listen, it's early. We're gonna do anything we can to lighten the mood.
I can tell that Jeremy doesn't agree with the things I say. I saw your face when I was saying...
How were you able to tell that?
No, I could just tell when I was talking about the women's revolution.
Yeah. Well, he's not a fan of Renee. We go back and look.
No, I've never said that I wasn't a fan of Renee, but I just don't think she had that. I respect your opinion.
Sure.
I don't feel like she had that as big of a part in it as you did, but I will agree with you on this. At some point, they were going to have to pull, whether it was her or them. I mean, one of the first post-COVID episodes of Backstage, Moxley shows up on the Backstage show on Fox.
Well, but that's a Fox show, so it doesn't matter. But
yeah, I mean, it still matters. It matters. So that would be like Chris Mack broadcasting a live coaching press conference from his home and Calipari walking up behind him being like, good job, buddy, and then walking off the screen. That would never go.
Anyway, I could see Calipari doing that, though.
I'm not sure he could find his way to their neighborhood.
So when it comes to Renee Young, is that suppose she had a deal with Fox. It's done, but she's not done with Fox. I think she's being transitioned to work with Fox in a different light.
I hope so, because I do enjoy her.
She's also Canadian, so therefore Fox is trying to get into the Canadian market and do more of a Canadian style and more of a women's revolution in Canada through Fox. So rumor that I heard was that she's being transitioned, that they're being pushed for that. And, you know, why not? And apparently they live in Vegas, and both of them actually are, because of the way the world is, are wanting to get away from Vegas now because it doesn't work out for them as much. So there's a chance that you can see them moving back on the East Coast, and she's closer to Canada and he's closer to Jacksonville, and there you go.
Real question is, will she go by Renee Paquette, which was her old name, or Renee Good, or Renee Moxley?
Ooh.
I would say Renee Good. I think that's.
I would say Renee Paquette because that's what she went.
Right. That's her name, and that was her name in the Canadian market. So, but honestly, Renee Good makes sense. I mean, hey, she's
good.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Best of luck to her. Honestly, I don't know why Daniel thinks I have disdain for her. I don't. I didn't think she was the right.
You slammed her on the commentary. The previous episodes you did.
No, yeah. That doesn't mean I'm not a fan of her. That just means I'm not a fan of her being on I think I've been very outspoken about my love and criticism for various commentary teams.
Well, sure. Well, they're all produced. I mean, that's the thing.
But I do enjoy Renee's work behind the scenes. I loved backstage. I loved talking smack, which we saw earlier is making a comeback. Oddly enough, the weekend Renee's bouncing.
Well, I think they probably already mentioned they were coming back, and then that's where the announcement got it released about Renee leaving, because when they announced Kayla Braxton's now your host, you're going to be like, what? Why is she the host? Now it kind of makes sense. They had to go, which I will say this. All the girls, Renee, I think, is one of the best. I love Renee. But I also think that Kayla,
Charlie hosts the first take
McKenzie,
the other day.
McKenzie, Sarah, I think they all do a great job.
Yeah.
They'll do phenomenal. Yeah.
To me, Charlie, out of all the women they have now, Chuck is the leader. Yes. She's kind of
taken that role. She's now
the most polished, I think, out of all of them.
Well, she's also on ESPN.
That's what I just said. She hosted
First Take
this week. She's been the host of Raw Talk. I don't know if y'all watch that or not. I do every Monday night after Raw. And
she's also a Colts fan. Yes.
I knew there was something wrong with her. But I'm joking.
She's from Indy, so.
But she's phenomenal. I mean, as much as you hate to lose a Renee Young, it's good to know you're in good hands with people like Charlie and Kayla.
I just don't see her going to AEW. I think that's where everybody thinks.
Not immediate. No, she will be in AEW. Let's not be stupid.
I don't think she will.
She will.
Well, AEW, think about it. They've got what's her name? Dasha. They've got Justin Roberts. They got the other guy. Well, they can get rid of him. But who's the guy that does the backstage stuff? The guy
that galoot, big galoot that they always make fun of. Yeah, I can't imagine they'd ever replace him. She's going to be on AEW, but it's not going to be for. Oh, like I said, the stuff that I saw earlier said that she had one of the longest so that's more than 90 days.
Well, okay, but also remember, there's also somebody else that their contract is eventually going to be up with Impact Wrestling. You haven't seen them on TV for quite a few times, but you have seen them. They host the Twitch shows, and their husband is currently in AEW, so they could easily show up and be the backstage interviewer and stuff too as well. Brian Cage's wife.
Oh, Melissa.
Melissa, yeah. So there's a possibility that she could
show up. She's been on AEW.
She has not.
Yes, she has.
She's not been on AEW because she's contracted with Impact Wrestling.
I thought I saw it when Brian Cage came through the first time. I thought that she was on TV with... I'm going to find it.
She's not. She can't legally be done.
So confused.
I mean, EC3 can be on a Ring of Honor and Impact. I'm sure Melissa Santos can figure something out.
That's a different contract, though. Yeah. Anyways, so Talking Smack is coming back, and I think Kayla Braxton's going to do a great job on it. I think you got to have the Miz on that show. If you don't have the Miz on that show, your show's not going to do well.
He's hosting it, along with Kayla. I think it looks great.
Well, Xavier Woods is part of it too, right? Isn't he part of the host too as well, Woods?
Of what?
Of Talking Smack.
So far it was Kayla and the Miz.
Yeah,
and
but they announced Xavier Woods as a co-host.
Well, we haven't seen him yet. We were about halfway through, and we hadn't seen Xavier. Just...
Yeah, the Miz and Big E, by the way, in the middle of a pretty good conversation, I thought.
Whoa, interesting. So the Miz was dealing with him and Big E were involved in something, but yet Xavier Woods is part of the... I see some kind of angle coming out of that. What do y'all think about the WrestleMania 24 that's actually probably airing now? You can watch on the network, but they showed a clip, they teased a clip where Vince McMahon is teaching Gronk how to jump off, make the jump doing rehearsals, and says, this is like what you do, pal, and gets up and does it.
Yeah. I saw that, and it was, I like the whole narrative that, hey, Vince is not going to have you do anything that he wouldn't do.
I've always heard that.
I've always heard that too.
Not have you do something that he wouldn't do.
To be a man in his 70s taking that fall, just like, look at this, pal. I thought it was pretty fun.
And I love them flashing back. They make the narrative that he wouldn't have you do anything that he wouldn't do, and then they flash back to WrestleMania 10, I think, where he
12,
yeah. Where Shawn Michaels does the whole zip line thing, and there you see Vince McMahon just wee all the way down. So
yeah, Vince would always, and that's the one thing I remember Al said, but I've heard it in many interviews. Vince will not have you if he asks you to do something, he will do it himself. If you say I'm not comfortable with that, I don't know. Okay, well let me show you, and he would always do it. Even back before you saw him on TV as a character taking bumps. So, and I will say this though, I put this out there in the chat. Now this guy's not 70-something years old, but Scott D'Amore is the same way. He won't have you do anything in Impact Wrestling that he wouldn't do because he gets in the ring and does stuff. If I can only show you when the cameras keep rolling, but yet we're stop rolling, the stuff that happens sometimes is pretty funny. in the ring, and he's not in a suit. He's not afraid to take bumps. I'll just tell you that much. So, I don't know if Tony Khan's like that or not, but you know, whatever. Talking Smack, and I think that show's going to do well, and I'm glad they're bringing it back. And
it should have never been taken off in the first place. No, it was the best part of the week every week, in my opinion.
And I don't know why. Was it network ratings? I'm not confused. But did it come on the same time as like something? I don't know. It was. Or they were like advertising.
It came on right after.
It was like 205 Live, I think, was the big issue they were trying to do that live. And
at that point,
205 Live wasn't live. They recorded it after Talking Smack and then played it back on Tuesdays, I think.
I thought it was live.
It has been live since Talking Smack was taken off the air.
Hmm. Okay.
And it may have. Let me take that back. Maybe it was still live before that, but it wasn't starting until 35 minutes after SmackDown was over with.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is. Big returns coming this week. So apparently, I have a feeling Roman Reigns is one of them. Maybe possibly John Cena. He's been trolling fans. You know, that's just my opinion on that. I mean, it's, of course, it's hard for really us to, although it's already happened.
Well, this might be a good place to talk about it then. Jeremy and I talked about this, you know, before we started here. This may have already been revealed at this point.
It may but you know what? If it has been, then we were right. And if it hadn't been, just wait and see.
We're going to talk about, let's talk about Retribution.
Okay.
And make our top five picks of who we think are behind Retribution.
I'm good with it. Let's set the stage off with the opening segment from SmackDown last night. I know Daniel hasn't seen it yet, so it's going to be a spoiler. But Vincent Mann opens up the show. He's giving his spiel, thanking everybody for
the Thunderdome.
And then all of a sudden, everything starts to shut down and the Fiend's music hits. And that was one of the most visually spectacular things I think I've ever seen on WWE television. The entire arena had pyro. It had, it was just screens everywhere. And then he gets face to face with Vince. Vince doesn't back down. You know, he steps aside. The Fiend steps aside. Then Strowman's music hits. He comes out. Vince is nowhere to be found. So here's my thing. The first nitpicky thing I have. So you're telling me in the 12 minutes it took for the Fiend to get from the top of the ramp to in the ring, Vince didn't think to leave. But in the 12 seconds that Strowman's music hits to the second he gets to the ring, Vince is already gone. Again, I don't know. But then they get face to face, and then Retribution shows up.
Yep.
And then the lights go off. The Fiend's gone, and it's just like 37 people jumping Braun Strowman.
Let's not forget the one subtlety of all that. Before the Fiend was gone, they look at each other. Fiend gives that little wave, that little Bray Wyatt wave, and boom, lights go off, and then he's gone. Yeah, I thought that was great.
Yeah, because they did tease the fact that they were going to work together for about a half a second. Braun's like, you want to do this? And Bray's like, see you later.
Then he waves, and he's gone.
He's gone.
So here's the thing. Now we've got more members of Retribution than ever before.
It's almost like the NWO Wolfpack showed up, but yeah.
I think what is now blatantly obvious with this group is that it's not going to be, let's unmask and see who all these people are. Because it's not going to matter at this point because there's been so many of them. It's kind of like the Dark Order.
You know?
It's like it's just a group to be a group. But there's going to have to be a conclusion. There's going to have to be somebody now pulling the strings. And this may have happened already at SummerSlam. We're just going to predict before it happens here. So, I don't know.
Do you want to do these one at a time?
However, because I've got a list of five here, and I don't know if Daniel's even thought about this because we talked about it before he showed up.
He's not even paying attention. He's over there in his farmers only DMs.
He's making another deal. He's going to be on Glow before you know it. I think
he's over there designing another T-shirt. it's going to have his face on it. It's going to say, "Don't you wish your boyfriend was hot like me?" That's what it's going to say.
Don't you wish your boyfriend wore stripes like me? That's it.
We get royalties off that, by the way.
All right. I mean, I've got a list of five. I'm going to start at the bottom of the list and kind of work my way up.
So least likely to most likely?
Well, possibly who I would like the least, but who I think might.
Well, can we start off real quick?
Go.
And I'll start off only because I just want to throw this out there, and then you can tell all yours.
Sure.
However you want to do it. But they kind of subtly hinted to the fact the entire WWE locker room hit the ring. You got WWE versus Retribution. I'm sorry, the SmackDown locker room just all came out. It was Retribution versus.
I think you have to call them the group known as Retribution. Yeah.
The artist currently known as Retribution. And about 12, 15 seconds later, The Miz walks down the ring.
Yeah.
It looked very, very obvious that they were. Now, who knows? Maybe he missed his cue and came out late. Who knows? That would be the one on my list that I would think that it would be. I would hate. I love The Miz, but it would make no sense. Why does Miz want Retribution on the WWE?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That.
So I just wanted to shoot that one.
Sure.
Shoot that one down.
Yeah, I don't have him on my list, but. Yeah, it would make sense. I agree. While he hasn't had a lot of great opportunities, he's still been at the forefront of everything WWE, and they've promoted everything he's done from Miz and Mrs. to Cannonball to
Talk
movies.
Talk and Smack.
Yeah.
He was the star of the first incarnation of that.
Wouldn't make sense. Let me go. Number five, I've got kind of two because either one of them could work, and these are the ones I don't really want to see in charge, but I could see him doing it. Shane or Paul Heyman?
Shane's on my list.
Shane showed up the same week that Retribution showed up doing this underground thing.
It could be all those underground fighters dressed.
Could.
Yeah.
And it probably is, but in real life. Heyman, you know, could be one of those things where they could play into real life that he was kind of thrown away because, you know, he was, I don't know, whatever. I don't want to see either one of those, but I could see it happening.
I would be okay with Heyman being behind it if the leader was unveiled as CM Punk. It's unlikely. If that was it, I'd be okay with Heyman showing up.
Well, let me jump through the rest of my list
then.
So since you've already said it here. So the next on the list, Tommaso Ciampa, I think is a possibility, probably a stronger possibility. I wouldn't be as excited about that, and I don't think the general population is going to be real excited about that just because, I mean, yeah, he would make a great leader. But why would he be against the entire, you know, roster other than the fact he said he never wanted to come to the main roster? So, I don't know. Next on my list, Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
He fits in that group, I feel like. And he has a reason to be a part of it, obviously. They've taken away his Intercontinental title, and it's now been passed around. Okay. Now, let's get to the top two on my list. Number two, Roman Reigns. You never see it coming. There's the tagline. You never see it coming. I feel like there's something big happening here. And how crazy would it be if Roman Reigns is the leader of this group here?
We talked about that before the show. And I actually brought it up to you, and you're like, yeah, that's what I was thinking too. As much as I'm not a fan of the guy, and it's nothing personal at all, but that would be awesome. He's coming to, you know, WWE has erased him from the short-term memory of the WWE fan. He had to stay home to take care of his kids. That makes, out of all the people that we've mentioned so far, that would make the second most, well, out of the ones we've mentioned so far, it would make the, I've got one I think that makes even more sense.
Okay, well, my first one you've already said, and I'm not the guy who has said this at every twist and turn. This is the first time, as a matter of fact, I've ever said, this could happen now. CM Punk.
There you go.
Because who better to get Retribution against the WWE at this point, and who's kind of out of your mind, you'll never see it coming. This is the first time ever I'm going to say, I could see this happening with Punk.
I love you took most of mine, and I'm okay with that. I didn't have at first I thought NXT guy, and I would have thought, but then it's like, what is Ciampa and or Dijakovic, which they're both rumored to be a part of this faction,
and they might be part of it, but I don't see them being the leader,
right? But what do they want Retribution for? Getting squashed by Karrion Kross? Okay, but that has nothing to do with the main roster. So he was not on my list. Bobby Roode, I had him on my list. We haven't seen him for a while. That seems like sometimes WWE will overpromise and underdeliver. I'd actually like Bobby Roode in that role because he's always been a world-class wrestler. I've always wanted him to get a shot. He was money in NXT. I have no idea why that didn't translate to the main roster other than the fact they just didn't have anything for it. Sometimes you get bad timing. Shane McMahon was on my list, Roman Reigns. But here's the one, and you want to talk about you'll never see it coming, John Cena.
Hmm.
Getting retribution for the think about it.
Would you never see it coming because you can't see him?
Right. That too.
Oh, that's not actually not a bad.
But they came out during the Fiend and Bray Wyatt segment last night. Who would John Cena want to get retribution against more than the Fiend for casting him aside?
Yeah.
In the Firefly Funhouse match, which I thought was done beautifully, and you know I'm a fan of Cena the person, just not a fan of Cena the character. And it's not his fault. I mean, we've talked about that before as well. It's not his fault that they chose to shove him down our throats. You know, it's just like, before the show, we were talking about, you know, I was a huge Hulk Hogan fan till about 3 years into it, and I realized he was never going to lose unless there was something, you know, and he'd get it back the next week, you know, this Tuesday in Texas. So I would, that would be, I'd be okay with any of them you said, any of them I said, I'd be
maybe
okay.
It's Hogan, brother.
Oh my gosh, retribution. Never mind. I don't want, the last time I mentioned Hulk Hogan on Twitter, I got accused of being a racist and this and that, which I'm not. So I'm going to leave him, alone.
Hogan.
Right. No, I'm with you on that. I don't believe he is either. But real quick, while we mention that though, and this pops into my head, I also have seen rumors of Saturday night's main event coming back, and that was a positive staple of my childhood.
Yeah,
I love that. But the only way something like that would work, I'm afraid, is if WWE cut the number of pay-per-views down, because that's what Saturday night's main event did for us growing up. It was a way to get us to the next pay-per-view, and it was on a Saturday night, and that's when you got together with your family, and it was a big deal. So I'm not sure. They've tried to do that several times since it went off the air regularly back in 88. I'm just guessing. Whenever it was, they stopped doing them every one a quarter. But they've tried to do it a couple times since then, and it's just never really latched on. So
I just hope they do it old school. Like the last time that they did it back in, what, 07 or whatever it was, you know, it just felt like another show. Like I need graphics, you know, with each individual wrestler has their own graphics up on the screen. I need stand-ups backstage with the blue curtain. I need, you know, promos at the beginning, and I need the music back. I need
And it looked like I'm glad you brought that up, because it looked like WWE was kind of leaning towards it. I think this was like four SmackDowns ago. It started off, and the Saturday night's main event music came. I was like, and then they had the talents were like cutting a promo to start the show off. This may have been three SmackDowns ago.
Yeah.
And it gave me the nostalgia. I was like, okay. It doesn't even matter if the rest of the show sucks at this point now. I feel like this feels good. So, sorry, Daniel. We talked as much as we could while you're doing your merch.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just there listening to y'all talk. I'm just.
You know, well, we appreciate you listening to the show.
Yeah, I mean, y'all went at it. Y'all had your opinions. I hope it's not a letdown. That's all I'm saying. I hope it's something that's.
I have a feeling it's not a letdown, and at this point, I feel like it will already have happened by the time people hear this.
Yeah, of course.
Whatever it is, I think whatever happens, it's happened, and
really,
it's big.
Really quick, you'll never see it coming.
You'll never see it coming.
What's your opinion that we won't see, that we will have never seen it coming? What is, because this is aimed towards a specific event.
This is what, because I haven't seen SmackDown.
This is what SummerSlam's called. It's like the horror show.
Oh, okay.
It is called You'll Never See It Coming. That's why we said it so many times.
So, Retribution is supposed to reveal their leader?
No, but that's just the tagline of SummerSlam. So the question I think you're asking is, what are we never going to see coming?
Yeah, what is it?
CM Punk would be big. Roman Reigns or John Cena turning heel.
I think it's the leader Retribution that will be revealed, and whoever it is, I think that's what we're never going to see coming. But what you think, it might be something else.
Yeah, I think I would love if it was your idea. I really think that they should hire us three to book a lot of stuff. I think we'd do a lot of good there. I'm afraid what we're never going to see coming is the fact that Otis is going to cash in his money in the bank at the end of at the end of the night on Braun or
Fiend. Braun's kind of turning heel, right? Does it seem that way? Or
again, after last night, it does seem like that. I'm not a fan of where this angle's going, to be honest with you.
Me neither. But I say that and then follow it up with this. It's almost a Tuesday night in Texas type feel to it, because next Sunday, or a few days after you all listen to this, WWE has its next pay-per-view, Payback. They got SummerSlam this weekend, Payback the next weekend. If Otis cashes in and wins it, he will lose it at the following weekend's pay-per-view. That's what I'm afraid, is that you're never going to see it coming, because that was the big shock about the there's supposed to be a big shock at Money in the Bank, and it was Otis winning the... I don't know. I'm entertained by Otis, but I'm just not sure he is yet anyway. I'm not sure he's a main event caliber at the moment.
All right, so a couple of debuts, trying to transition a little bit. A couple of debuts happened last week, one in AEW and one in WWE. You've seen in AEW, you've seen the referee, Mike Chioda, make his AEW debut. Now, supposedly he's not on a contracted deal at that time. It could be on one now. I don't know. But Mike Chioda made his debut, and that's good for him. I was happy to see him get in there and get some matches, and I think that's a big, great pickup for them. And hopefully, as Jimmy Cordero said, it allow, you know, their referees to listen, and he'll help control that and change the narrative of the referees there at AEW. But also later that following Friday on SmackDown, we've seen one Joseph Park debut as the guy helping
statistical analysis representative
for AJ Styles, which, smart for Impact Wrestling. As soon as that was announced, they released a AJ Styles versus Abyss. If people don't know, Joseph Park played the character of Joseph Park on Impact, as well as Abyss.
No, that was they were brothers.
Oh, they were brothers?
Yeah. Yes. Abyss was his brother.
Yeah, they're...
Well, but...
Other than that, not the same person at all, no.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Anyway.
Sometimes it takes them a little while to catch on. It's okay. You'll get used to it.
His brother, you know, Abyss, he was the former OVW champion. Joseph Park never made his OVW appearance.
He never made his OVW appearance. Anyways, so... yeah, so you see that, and it was great that they released that out there. But anyway, so good for him to make a debut, and I like him doing an angle like this with AJ. Do we ever see the Monster Abyss showing up in SmackDown? That's my question.
That would be awesome.
I would tend to say no. I don't even think that Joseph Park was supposed to show up a second time, but I think everybody was so excited about it. And the fact that AJ said his name, which I don't think was part of the plan originally, because he just kind of threw it in there. He was like, "Thank you so much, Joseph Park." I think the internet went crazy over it. So again, he showed up again this week, and I expect to see more of him now that the fans kind of went crazy over him. Abyss, I don't know if we see him, but I'm fine with just this man.
Abyss versus Undertaker at the next WrestleMania?
No, not that. There was a chance for that years ago. But
versus
I don't think
Sting?
It's
now, what happens with... Because I did see that apparently Jeff Hardy did win the Intercontinental title.
He did.
Does that mean... Is there? I don't know if there's a rematch or something.
Yeah, there is.
Okay, so...
So he's going to win it right back.
No, it's okay.
Have they announced? Well, I don't know. It happened? We'll see. We shouldn't even talk about it now, because who knows? Daniel Bryan is going to be involved in this somehow, because they keep showing up, talking about the Intercontinental situation. So that's coming eventually.
Yeah, I thought I'm not sure whether last night was supposed to happen or not, because initially they had announced that match for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's going to be a rematch. I don't know if there was a rematch. I forgot we had to talk in the past tense or not, but.
All of it was a weird situation. I was kind of surprised that Hardy won, and the way it happened. But
the way they did it, was really cool, because had AJ not attacked Jeff Hardy while Retribution was out there, he didn't have to have a knee brace. He wouldn't have popped AJ in the mouth with the knee brace, which caused him to get the pinfall.
True. Yeah, there was a story. There was a good story to it.
So that was pretty cool.
So, now... AEW is going to be going to legit for the first time. Not the first time, I guess, but kind of. They're going to go one-on-one with NXT's TakeOver. They've never really went one-on-one before, right, on TV?
You know what? I don't want to jump the gun and say yes or no, because for some reason I feel like they overlapped one other time. And I think it was the pay-per-views that overlapped, not TV.
Well, that's what I mean, the pay-per-views. I don't remember them. I don't think they've overlapped before.
Well, unless you consider the Great American Bash, you know, if that takeover.
Those are just TVs, though. Those are just your
normal
TVs.
I think it was supposed to kind of be like a two-part takeover, but... But no, this is you know, we'll see how that all goes. Of course, so you can't do the ratings the same way.
No, you can't. So that's the thing. Like, who wins out on this? You know what I mean? Who's going to watch more of the other?
We, as the fans, win.
Yeah, that's true.
On that, because we'll watch Dynamite live and start Takeover about an hour later.
That's it.
But dude, but see, if WWE's smart though, you don't do that, because then if you find out you release something big happens at the very beginning, and oh crap, and you turn it over and you forget about Dynamite. But if AEW is smart, then you'd also bring them right back. Oh no, you have something crazy, so they make.
Or you just have Mauro Ranallo sitting there in the seats going, "We hear that on AEW, Mr. Brody Lee has defeated Cody. That'll put some butts in seats when they're allowed to come back."
Yeah, yeah. For a second, I thought JK was back. It was crazy.
All right, guys, let's.
That would be hilarious. I would pop for that. I would.
Before we go,
that'll put 10% of butts in seats.
Before we go on to the next thing, let's give a shout out to our sponsor, Collar and Elbow. That's right. When you go to collarandelbowbrand.com, use promo code Ringside, all capital letters. You save 10%. And you have the Ringside
Podcast.
You save
10%?
You save 10%. 10%. And you help the Ringside Podcast out in the progress. And we appreciate that. Collar and Elbow Brand, the best wrestling apparel there is today. For sure. All right, guys. So Impact Wrestling did Emergence Night 1. We got Emergence Night 2 this week. What do you think of your views and opinions and thoughts on Emergence Night 1?
There was something missing. I don't know what it was. I watched it. I'm a huge Impact fan, but I watched that entire show, and at the end, I was just like, there was just something missing to me. I don't know what it was. It may have been the fact that you were on there. No, I'm joking. I don't know. I honestly don't know what it was, but I felt like something was missing at the end of the night.
Okay.
There's no other.
Well,
I mean, it was part one
leading to part two. So maybe it was a full.
It's funny you say that, because I was going to say it kind of reminded me a little bit of when Lucha Underground did their two part Ultima Lucha 4, I think it was, and they kind of separated theirs out a little bit, sort of like WrestleMania. They had half and half. I don't know. Just to me, I just ended up the night like, man. I expected to be more excited at the end. I don't know.
I think the Good Brothers off to a good start. Mm-hmm. I like their fit there. I didn't know that I was going to, but I mean, I think the matchup between Ace Austin and Fulton, I think was a perfect matchup for them initially. And then when they finally match up against the North, it's going to be pretty solid. That's my highlight of everything going on in Impact right now. And I have to say, I didn't think that they would fit well, and I think they're fitting very well.
I agree with you there.
And I absolutely love what Eric Young's doing at this point in his career. He's the man. I mean, I like how he went through the retrospective of everything he had done in Impact, and all of that's put behind him. And he said, you know, the last 2 years of being invisible didn't hurt me. This is who I am, and I like what Eric Young's doing.
So I just wasn't a huge fan of once again, I would be a hypocrite if I didn't point this out on Impact when I do on AEW, but the unnecessary shots at WWE. Like, just don't mention them. Like, they don't mention you. Don't mention them. There's no need to, like, Brian Myers is never going to get a job in WWE ever again. Does he want to work there ever again? Maybe not. But why talk crap about, Stephanie? But when you say something derogatory towards Vince McMahon, that's it. It's a wrap.
Well, actually, Vince never sees it, so he wouldn't.
Yeah, that's true. I disagree with you on Brian Myers. There's something like Eric Young. Will he ever be back? Probably not. Well, Brian Myers, yeah, I guarantee he'll be an agent someday. He'll be a trainer or something. There's something about him. He's one of those Teflon guys, I think. Brian Myers just can come back. But
So Emergence Night 2, we've got Brian Myers taking on Willie Mack. And from that promo you were talking about. And then you've got
you know, you've got Eddie Edwards going to have a world title match. Who his opponent is, we don't know. I guess we'll find out on Tuesday.
We don't know.
Yeah. No, no.
You know.
I know.
We don't know.
He can tell us all right now. He's not going to.
You know what? He won't even tell us after the show. He'll tell us, you got to tune in, buddy.
No, actually, I refereed the match.
He had Tony Khan on the phone earlier. Know. He was telling Tony Khan.
And then next up, and then also you've got, you're going to find out what is going on with the TNA World title, with EC3, why he stole it from Moose. Then you're also going to see a 30-minute Iron Man match for the Knockouts title. Between Deonna Purrazzo and Jordan Grace, which is basically a rematch for Slammiversary. So,
wouldn't that be an Iron Woman match?
No, they're calling it an Iron Man match. They're calling it an Iron Man match. So, I mean, I guess you could say Iron Knockout match, Iron Woman match, whatever, but they're calling it an Iron Man match.
Who am I to decide what it's true, called? True.
My favorite part of Impact every week is listening to the commentary team.
Josh Matthews and Madison Rayne are killing it. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it was this week. It could have been last week. She even told him something along the lines that he could never find a woman or something like that. And I was like, y'all are married. Maybe not everybody knows that, but I do. So it was fun. I forgot what it was exactly, but they traded little personal jabs in. So, and I'm not just saying that because I want him to unblock me on Twitter. I'm saying he's always I cheered for him in Tough Enough, for God's sake.
So now you may be the one who's entrusted to do this, because looking ahead, we're going to have a championship scramble in OVW for the women's title, because Madison Rayne has been stripped of that title for not coming to defend it. So
what?
Somebody's got to go get that title from her. I think I know who's going to be entrusted with that duty.
Who's to say that?
Wait a minute. So y'all know I'm behind on OVW, because
you're not behind. You're fine. I'm just saying she's been stripped of the title, and there will be a new women's champion coming.
How could they do that to Josh Matthews' wife?
Anyways,
one of the literally probably top two greatest knockouts of all time.
So WrestleHouse is also been kind of coming to an end here, and it's getting good and good. Did you like WrestleHouse this week?
I got to say, I kind of tuned out on WrestleHouse this week.
Oh, wow.
Same. I did.
Character building, man, is so good.
I'll get back to it, but I didn't
okay.
See WrestleHouse this week.
I started it. I just, for some reason, it started to wear off as well. But I do see Daniel saying the importance of building, because you can't always be in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
So something like WrestleHouse does give those guys that don't have the most mic time or TV time a chance to shine on their own. And I think it is helping out some of them. But for me, it's just it started to lose its luster a little bit.
Well, here's the thing that I can tell you that happened. So when it was announced at WrestleHouse, a lot of people were like, there was a lot of people said they didn't want to be a part of it, pushed it away. It was like, no, that sounds silly. Then after it aired, everybody wants to be a part of it now. So so season two, if they ever have one, which I have a feeling they will eventually, and I hope they do it more like a Survivor or something where it's every 6 months, not like they're going to do it right away. They'll wait a while and come back to it. You're going to have a lot of people dying to be on WrestleHouse compared to before, so which is a good thing to have. You know?
Did you hear that was a spoiler? Mark Calloway is going to be on the next season of WrestleHouse. He said they're dying to be on it.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. Undertaker. Going to be.
Confirmed Ringside Podcast.
By the way, that would be interesting. Undertaker meets Rosemary, since they're all in the dead world, so to speak. So,
I mean, if Abyss can show up in the WrestleHouse, I don't see why Undertaker can't.
Well, Abyss can, because his brother's in SmackDown.
True.
He's not.
That's true. I don't know what I was thinking.
All right, so get ready for Emergence Night 2, and then as we're leading more towards Bound for Glory, a lot of things that come up. We'll get to that when we get to that. So now let's finish off with our local affiliate. This is the official podcast of OVW. Let's talk about OVW and what's going on.
Well, apparently I don't know what's going on, because I just was informed that the greatest knockout of all time has been stripped of her OVW championship, and it's not her fault.
Oh, she had the chance to come and defend it. Dean Hill put it out there, all the champions.
But what if she didn't want to get her? you know, maybe I'm just a little bit more on the cautious. You know, I did build this socially distanced podcast table, so I didn't have to be too close to either of you all, mostly for this, you know, nothing but love here. But that's not fair. Because what if she was trying to protect? What if she's like me and has a mom and dad that might be susceptible, and she didn't want to come to the arena in Jeffersonville? You can catch stuff that's not COVID just walking into that building.
Anyways,
he sounds like Adam Revolver over here.
He does. Yeah, he's a big Adam Revolver fan. Happy birthday, Adam Revolver, by the way.
Ridiculous.
Look, I don't know when it comes to, you know, Madison Rain and what's going to happen. There's a chance that, you know, she is not happy with being stripped of the title, and, you know.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see on that.
She could always come back and enter that scramble. We'll see what happens. But so here's what we got coming up. We've got, you know, we're going to have to find a number one contender for Tony Gunn and his title. We got a lot of people, you know, jockeying for that position. Brian Pillman Jr. has been on a roll.
Yep.
You got Ryan Howe's back in the house. He wants a shot. He's already made that clear.
No skid marks.
We got a new Anarchy champion, who, that's an odd situation. Mr. Marvelous.
Yeah, you got that going on. You've got a lot happening in OVW. And rumors are Al's working on something. Al, the CEO, and is working on something special to make a big announcement at the 1100th episode. That is going to air in a couple of weeks. So, you know, 1,100 episodes, guys. That's a tremendous. That's an Al word too. A tremendous,
tremendous
thing to get to. Not many shows, not many wrestling shows that make it to 1,100.
No,
there's only two other ones I can think of, and that's Raw and SmackDown.
Raw and SmackDown, yeah.
That is a tremendous thing to happen. Tremendous milestone.
Since 1998, there has been an episode of OVW every single week in the Louisville market.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
So, yeah.
And
so,
now it's all over the world.
And, so, guys, by the way, if you're listening to this, you can catch it on the Roku, Amazon Fire, download OVW TV. You can catch it all over the world. You don't just have to, you know, those are now, or YTA, if you have that channel in your area, too, as well, on Friday nights. So that's just something that...
and if nothing else, YouTube. Episode 1097 is on YouTube right now.
Right. So a lot is coming up. A lot is happening in OVW. And soon, I have a feeling, you know... I just feel like live TV is coming back soon, eventually, as well as and then maybe Jeremy can be caught up with OVW. Get it on your Roku.
I do, but it's like 2 weeks behind.
What?
Current right now. Episode 1097 is there.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, it's current. All right. So,
but I do want to ask you this real quick, and we won't spend a lot of time on it. I got an email from the Yum Center about 4 days ago telling me that Monday Night Raw was returning to Louisville in
October 26th.
Yes.
Right.
So is there any chance you think that actually happens? I don't know.
Concerts and stuff are starting back in the month of September. For the most part, certain events, there's Louisville Palace is doing something. They've also announced a lot of October shows. Right now they're a go. So I guess when it comes to Raw on Monday on 20 would be more about what's happening with WWE and their decision making. I think it's still a possibility.
Would that be the first Raw after the Thunderdome ends?
I don't know,
because I believe they have a 60-day contract.
I don't know.
It may be the second one.
It's still being announced, and it's still going to be going up. And I mean,
you're talking about 6 weeks after Derby goes off with zero fans. So I don't know.
That's why I don't think.
We'll take it with a grain of salt.
I hope it happens, but I don't think it will.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, when that airs, I will not be in Louisville, Kentucky. So,
when Raw's in town, you won't be in Louisville.
Correct.
Do you have
I just want to get the rumors out of the way from there.
I hate it. Where will you be at, Daniel?
I'll be busy refereeing.
I hate him.
Not for WWE. For another company.
Do we think that there's any chance?
So he's going to have a SmackDown contract.
Right, exactly.
A Raw contract, obviously.
I should have known. I saw who he was talking to. No, do we think there's any chance they take Thunderdome on a traveling basis?
Wouldn't make sense, would it?
I mean, you wouldn't have to pay for all the talent to. Oh yeah, you would. Never mind. Wouldn't make sense.
Really wouldn't make sense because it'll be the same no matter what.
Scenery. I mean, the backstage. No, it wouldn't.
No.
See, that's why I like this show, and I like with you being because we talk things out. We don't tell each other that they're wrong, and then just stay on that platform.
It'd be off. It'd be all right if we disagree at some point.
Yes. What do you think, Lamar? Yeah, Lamar agrees. It's like this is crazy. All right, we threw it back to you.
Yeah. So, guys, thanks for listening. As always, you can catch us all on the Podcast Avenues, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio app, Apple Podcasts, all Heart Radio, or just go to ringsidepodcast.com. You can get us all on the social media, the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook at Ringside Podcast. And individually on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Daniel Spencer.
I'm at Jeremy underscore CSZ.
And I am at Eric on the air.
All right, guys. So shoot us a tweet at Ringside Podcast when it comes to t-shirts. If you're wanting a t-shirt, if you're willing to purchase, and then we'll get those squared away with collar and elbow. It's going to be a phenomenal, tremendous, I'm trying to use all the words that, amazing, all the words that all these guys use that are in the, that are over.
You just made it sound very important, so I think you did your job.
Thank you.
Delicious? Is that another one that we use?
God dang it.
All right, guys, thanks for listening as always. In the meantime, but between time, until next time.
You can catch us ringside.
Or somewhere.
See ya.